So in chapter 2, Abraham's faith was tested. And Abraham, when God says, Abraham, I want you to offer me Isaac. Abraham didn't say, oh dear Lord. In some of the videos on the life of Abraham, Abraham said, I think they didn't read the Bible, the producers. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham believed in the resurrection. So when God spoke to him, in chapter 22, you notice even here in chapter 22, in verse 5, when he took Isaac, the lad, he said, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. That tells me he believed in the resurrection. Now, he may have struggled in the beginning, I do not know. But you can be sure, he had grown in his fellowship with God. Now, he believed. Say, we will come back. He knows what he's going to do there. So that's a picture of Jesus Christ being offered on the cross of Calvary. There are a lot of similarities. If you're doing a study, you study every act, every word said, and every symbol that is there. Wood was used, tied up to the cross, and then the ram, and all these things tied up to symbol of Jesus. Everything was all tied up together to the Lord Jesus. Which, because Isaac is a picture of God the Son, it points us and teaches us about God the Son coming on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's a clear-cut picture. It's easy to interpret that. But the other picture of Isaac is something we must not forget. See, one is at the beginning of Jesus coming to the earth. The other is the bride of Isaac. Now, that chapter 24 is a prophetic word about the church. Abraham represents God the Father. Isaac represents Jesus Christ. Now, they are not perfect types, but just typology, symbols. And the servant represents the Holy Spirit. And Rebekah represents the church being prepared. Because you see in chapter 24, number 1, the first encounter of the young woman in verse 16 with the servant was a pitcher of water. And she went, what was the sign that the servant asked? That she draw water from the well for me and my animals. When you come to know the Lord Jesus, you receive the wells of salvation. That's the first stage. But look at the final stage. Then after the wells of salvation, immediately when she has done all those things, the man in verse 22 gave her a gift. Put bracelets on her wrist and a nose ring. In those days, it was the fashion. I know some of you don't think there's a fashion to wear nose ring now. But look at it, even the men today wear earrings, unthinkable. Right? You never know fashion. And so, that is a picture of salvation and the seal of salvation given. The bracelet, two bracelets, the nose ring. They all represent something, more teaching in that area. But notice the other time when the present is given is before the bride is about to leave. That is a symbol of the work of the Holy Spirit in the last day revival. You notice that the last day gifts are even more than the book of Acts. In the book of Genesis chapter 24, Genesis 24, it says in verse 51-52, here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go. Let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. The moment they were willing to let her go, and the moment she was willing to go, they are ready, symbol of the rapture. Ready to go. The moment they said that, in verse 53, the servant who represents a type of the Holy Spirit brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, clothing, gave them to Rebecca. That is a symbol of the last day revival. They got clothing the bride for the bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaac, two major events. From chapter 25 onwards, it begins to focus right towards, from chapter 25 onwards, it begins to focus on the third guy called Jacob. Now, Jacob is a picture of what a person in the flesh can do, and then what a person in the spirit should be. Jacob teaches us, his life tells us, how to flow with the Holy Ghost. How to flow with the Holy Ghost. Now, the negative part, you must take it correctly, of the strife that begins taking place, you read about it all over the Bible, from the time of the book of Genesis 6, how the Spirit is striving with men. Striving with men. The working of the Spirit. And it tells us in the book of Galatians how the Spirit of God is still striving with men. The ways of the Spirit against the ways of the flesh, and the two are contrary to one another. Tells you that picture that is there. And Esau represents where the flesh. Now Jacob, you will notice that in his first part, it was good of him to desire the birthright. To want to have that birthright that rightfully belongs to us. And that is like, as you can see, Jacob did everything he can to get that birthright. He did it by the works of the flesh. His name was Jacob. Until he became Israel, he always was a grabber. Even when he came out from the womb, he was holding on to his brother's heel. Even in the womb, already fighting. So came out still fighting, still striving, holding on, grabbing. He was a grabber. Jacob, the swindler, the grabber. And later on, you notice all these talks about the works of the flesh. Do you know how he cheated his father? All talks about sense knowledge. In chapter 27, in verse 23, Isaac did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau. So, Isaac went by touch, smell, and feel. Jacob used the senses of touch, smell, and feel to deceive. The works of the flesh are always in the area of touch, smell, and feel. Now, the life of Jacob teaches you something. How not to move in the flesh, and what moving in the flesh is like, and what moving in the spirit is like. So, if you want to move in the spirit, you cannot go by what you touch, what you smell, and what you feel. You will never get into the things of God. And only when he broke away from that, could he really be free. But he did not. Later on, because he did that to others, he reaped what he sowed. The first thing that happened when he escaped was he made a covenant with God. Chapter 28. Verse 10, God appeared to him at battle and he made a vow to God. At least that's the beginning of his life. Now, I want you to notice how he began to walk in the Spirit. You see, Jacob is teaching you the ways of the Spirit and how to walk in the Spirit. At first he was like the average Christian. In verse 20, he says, if God will be with me, keep me in this way that I'm going, give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, and the Lord shall be my God. He thinks about his going out and his coming in, thinks about his bread, thinks about his clothing, thinks about his food, clothing and shelter. Says, God made a covenant with you, and you take care of me, Lord. It's the basic, simple desires of a young baby Christian. That's the first relationship people have with God. That's alright for a baby Christian. That's his start. But it's not good enough. If that's all you have, you will not be able to move into the deep things of the Spirit, which Jacob began to realize. From the time in chapter 28 until he met the God of battle again was 20 years. 7 years for Rachel, he worked. 7 years for Leah. 7 years originally for Rachel, but got Leah, and then 7 years for Rachel. And 6 years for the animals. All that he tells us in chapter 30. I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. He cheated and he got cheated. But he cheated back again. Do you notice that in his last 6 years when he gained his inheritance, he had only one key that helped him? That tells you how to move into the Spirit. The first is the covenant relationship which every Christian enters into at battle, like Jacob. Because you're born again, you're a believer in Christ, you're redeemed by the blood, the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit from that time. You may not know that He is with you, you may not know that He is there, you may not even acknowledge Him, but He is there. But the second level of His relationship, He begins. And this tells us the door into the ways of the Spirit. Very important. Do you notice that if not for the last 6 years, all Jacob would have was his wife and children? He would not have any cattle or inheritance at all. And the key in his last 6 years, because Laban was a great cheat, was in verse 11 of chapter 31, the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And he says in verse 12, lift up your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and grey spotted. For I've seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of battle. Now in chapter 30 of Genesis, we realize that in verse 37, when Jacob did all those funny and strange things you read about, how he peeled the almond and chestnut trees and make white and black, white and black, white and black, where the sheep and the cattle were gathering, and they see white, black, white, black, white, black. Then Gibeah also white and black, white and black, white and black. That was for the sheep to visualize. Then for Jacob, he also looking white, black, white, black. Look at the white also, white, black, white, black, white, black, white, black. Everything white, black, white, black. A lot of white, black in the end. There's one key principle. You cannot deny it. It's a principle of visualizing. Found right here in the Bible. And this principle of visualizing is that big door into the realm of the Spirit. That's the entrance into the way of the Spirit. You don't believe me? Read Acts chapter 2. When the Spirit comes down on all flesh, He starts talking about visions and dreams.